Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the f*** are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, we're back, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Kamal. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. By the way, Matt, you never even said whether, of course, everybody in this world has their ticks. You know, isn't that what they call in poker?
No, they call it a tell in poker.
Tell, tick. What's the difference? Your tell is you didn't tell me about the softball game.
Tick is something that burrows into your skin.
Yes, since you didn't tell me about softball, I'm going to assume you lost.
Not only did we lose, it was our worst game. This group of guys I'm playing with currently, this is our third season, so we're a relatively young team. This was our worst game in three seasons.
When am I going to see my contract to come take over?
Well, I wasn't pitching.
I mean management.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't want to manage, so I would take anyone to come and manage.
Well, I could.
But I'm managing by necessity. But, I mean, we have a good group of guys. We have guys that are getting better every week, but then we have a couple of guys who are probably our best guys, at least our most talented guys.
I know exactly what you're talking about, I'm sure.
That, for whatever reason, just are head cases and have been a zero this season. Like guys that are three hitters that are great fielders that have been playing for a long time, and then all of a sudden now that you can't put them anywhere in the field, they have no confidence, and then they're taking it to the plate as well and not hitting. And when your best players all of a sudden aren't doing anything, everyone else is getting better, and you're kind of counting on your best players to consistently be there, it's hurt us.
Plus, you're missing a guy who's doing the fire department training.
Well, yeah, then we have a guy who says he's in, and then we save a spot for him, and then he doesn't pay, and then he quits.
Well, we're not going into anybody, but an interesting guy.
That was another $100 that I eat as the manager.
Well, first thing you do is next time you go through, I'll get you a sponsor. That'll help.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've always had a sponsor until COVID hit, and now everyone's a little shy about asking bars to sponsor because bars aren't exactly doing so hot the last 18 months.
If you go through the list of people who got money from the state, I'll pick you out one that got a lot of dough.
Just tell them if they don't cough it up, you're gonna talk about them on the air.
That's right. SP futures up $1.50. NASDAQ futures down 19. We got the jobs report this morning. People are looking for like 800 and something. In the last couple of months, that's been sort of the target number. But we had one of 350 and one over a million. So it's been uneven to say the least. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Anyway, the person we're talking about has been a paramedic now for, what would you say, Matty, 10 years?
Yeah.
In a bunch of different districts. Well, of course, now he gets on the list for the Chicago. Of course, Chicago won't take anybody else's training or anything like that. So the guy's studying, bringing his stuff to school, like if it's his first grade, really into it because his mom was like a 30-year fireman and one of the first ladies, and everybody knows her, and she's spectacular. So, of course, he wants to do absolutely everything perfect. So that's why he bagged on the softball. But you know, it's so bizarre. One of my friends, friends I haven't seen in a decade, people on the trading floor, his son, I don't know if he ended up going there or not, his son wanted to go to the Coast Guard Academy because he wanted to become, some reason, he not only wanted to be a fireman, but he wanted to be, like, really good at it. And it appears that if you're, like, no college anyplace, I don't know if maybe a junior college does, Kevin, they probably teach for the test, but they don't actually teach you to be, quote, a fireman. The Coast Guard Academy, because obviously the most dangerous thing that could ever happen on a ship, other than like a torpedo, is fire. course, I guess a torpedo would cause fire. Anyway, but is fire. So the best training fighting fires is at the Coast Guard Academy, from what I've read everywhere. Well, if you're a graduate of there and you serve, you know, whatever you got to serve, 6 years on a Coast Guard ship, like essentially fighting fires, you come into Chicago and say, can I get an interview? The answer is no. It's like, take a test like all the other people. I guess that's fair, Kevin. I don't know. You come out of Notre Dame with a CPA and an accounting degree. You don't have to go take a test with the people and, you know, some guy like me off the street, even though I had a little bit of accounting, before they hire you at an accounting firm. I mean, they're happy to get you, right? Somehow or another, we've taken this a little too far, don't you think?
Well, yes, but we're talking about the government. There's no reason for it. It's just a policy.
I remember that. That was the Observer at Notre Dame. Wasn't that their...
Yeah, there's no reason for it. It's just our policy.
Yeah, well, what would they call it? A school policy. And it's, you know, and it's absolutely true. So I'm stunned by the amount of people I'm seeing riding around in cars with masks on by themselves. I don't know what's wrong with this mess, but I...
How traumatized must you have been to be doing that?
By the way, I had a conversation with our buddy Dr. Johnson, Dr. Blade, yesterday, because our drinking hole of a bazillion years down here, the Sirius Cafe in the Board of Trade building, after 17 months of being closed, finally opened Wednesday night. And I walked in and I saw three, four people that I haven't seen since last, whatever, a year ago, St. Patrick's Day. And I tell you, Kevin, I mean, we're all aging. And, you know, you would think it would be somewhat linear. These people, they were home the whole time. A couple of them looked like they had aged, you know, damn near a decade in 18 months. And I'm like, is it just me? Or it looks like this is a time warp or something. I never saw anything like it. I mean, these are people I've known for 40 years. And so I called Dr. Blade and I go, hey, Mark, am I nuts here? And he goes, no, you're not nuts. He goes, aging is not necessarily, physical aging is not necessarily linear. He says, we're all aging. He goes, that part's true. He says, but you can have people that are maybe in prison or something bad happened, or they're locked up someplace or whatever it is, or just in a massive period of stress for 6 months or a year. And it looks like you can do like 5 years of aging in 1 year if it happens. And he goes, it's very noticeable. Everybody knows it in the psychological community, but there's no name for it, and there's nothing you can put your finger on. He says, but it happens. And you're just looking at it. He goes, not many people, spot it that quick. He says, but yeah, you're not, he goes, you may be nuts for other reasons, but that's not one. So that was the end of that conversation. So
yeah, so we've been thinning the herd is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I still get, some of the guys in the Fed that I used to hang out with, they're still not out. I mean, they still won't go anywhere. It's just, and I don't get what this, and we have, you know, people high in government telling you that if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get this variant. And the fact is, you are. It just, it's as a protection for you, you're not going to get it anywhere near as bad. That's what's going on. I've read 100 studies on that, Kevin. I mean, this is not deniable. It's happening everywhere. Reading stuff. I mean, Singapore is what, 80% vaccinated, and they're having a problem with it. Nobody's real sick. Most people are asymptomatic. Some people aren't handling it. You know, would rather not have had it, obviously. But they said we're at the point where everybody who gets it, he said, what did the article say? We're like 3 months away from being like 95% vaccinated. We have no thought that it's going to eradicate the thing. Why? How are the people in Singapore have more common sense than we do?
we can only speculate. We could probably spend the rest of the hour just throwing out ideas. You know, let's brainstorm this. Why do they have more common sense? Are there any other indicators that we don't have common sense in this country? Well, how have we done on selecting presidents lately?
If you look at the talent pool in this country and you look at the last however many presidents, it's really startling. I mean, it's really startling. I mean, how far back you want to go, but you go back a ways. I mean, this is not just... I don't think it's just my opinion. I mean, it could be, but I mean, I don't. Name me one who was the cream of the crop, probably since, you know, Eisenhower, maybe Kennedy, maybe intellectually. Plus, the guy was sick as could be and still managed to.
Well, some people stuff. Were, you know, we've had a bad combination of intellectually cream of the crop, and then you have some other issues like ethically, or just, you know, common sense. Jimmy Carter was incredibly smart man.
Oh yeah.
Richard Nixon was an incredibly smart man,
and he won Supreme Court cases and things like that. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so it's not like we're necessarily electing stupid people, we're just electing bad people.
I haven't elected Jerry Ford, to be honest with you.
No, we did, you know.
We didn't elect him.
Jerry Ford, in many ways, it's too bad that he didn't win. I mean, in retrospect, given the hand he was dealt when he stepped into office, he probably did as good a job as anybody could have. It's not necessarily the president, we'd say the whole administration. But they probably did as good a job as they could have at the time, you know, with the hand they were dealt. It was never going to be okay, just like it was never going to be okay for Carter. And it was, you know, and sooner or later it was probably going to fix itself.
If it ever really does.
If we just left it alone. I mean, that's where we are now, right? Look at what's happening now. All the current administration had to do was sit back, don't do anything in particular with the economy, let it rebound and pat themselves on the back and take credit for it. And instead, they have dumped so much gasoline on this inflation fire that we're going to have a big price to pay.
Well, I would say, there's several things that as I've gotten older just astound me, Kevin. One is why we don't have expiration times for virtually every bill that need to be re-upped. And I don't know where's Lou or somebody when we need them, but I seem to recall that when they put through a big, you know, rush bazillion page bill, which they didn't do very often in the old days, but there was an actual time where maybe 9 months, a year, 2 years later, that they would schedule a redo on that bill where if there was 15 pieces in it that obviously made no sense and somehow got in there, they would essentially go through it and fix it. Do you remember that at all? I mean, I do. I don't,
but that doesn't mean it didn't exist. But I agree with you. It needs to have a reset. Now, I understand that when it comes to major policies, you don't want to be lurching back and forth with every change of administration.
Well, we are now with executive orders.
It needs to be a little bit longer, but. But nevertheless, yeah, we can't just keep passing legislation and say we're stuck with it forever.
But I've never seen anything. I mean, the people. I'm gonna say that when the inflation started the last time after the Vietnam War and going off the gold standard and all those kinds of things, when it started the last time, I don't think that people. They kept giving you the numbers from the government. I think they honestly thought that it was coming from the Arabs with the oil embargo and things like that. There probably were some people that, you know, had some monetary theory and so forth. But now that we went through that and recognizes the mistakes that were made and how we got there and what the cost was, you know, whole industries were messed up. I mean, I guess some people who got all the property from other people's property from the Resolution Trust and stuff probably thought it was a great thing. But the fact is, it was a disaster for just about anybody. The only people, you know, some people made out all right. Actually, middle America made out all right. If you had your money in a savings account, your savings was always higher than the inflation rate. But by and large, but now you would think, since there's been countless books written and histories of how we got there with monetary policy and all those kinds of things, that we would never try that again. We might try it a little bit because the initial inflation always feels so good. It's like your first beer, right? I can see how you, but we're at a stage here. Oh no, people are noticing that we're raising the money supply so much. We'll show them. We'll stop giving them the numbers. Kevin, I think these governments now, who's ever in power, they're willing to do just about anything. And their view of their electorate mean, I honestly think that the people who were in power, even though they weren't, it wasn't like they were saints. They sure weren't, and most of them were as crooked as some of the guys today. But I don't think that your legislator in the 50s and 60s really thought that the people he dealt with, that were, a lot of them were World War II veterans, and a lot of the ladies that, you know, before women worked, were working in factories, there weren't a whole lot of people you could basically BS out there. I don't think there are now necessarily, but the government seemed to feel that, now we can't get this one by people. Now there is no, these guys could, you know, could tell you that, you know, that eating yellow snow is fine if you know if they feel they get the right Twitter thing going out there. I mean, I don't think there's any limit to what they think they can put by people. It's very, very similar, and I know you hate it when I do this. It's very similar to what the Nazis did. If you just tell the lie.
Yeah, I do hate Nazi comparisons, although, you know, sometimes they're apt. What I would say is that, you know, we've built up this class of people that, and it's partly the politicians, but it's very much the career agency people. And, you know, they have degrees from the right schools, so they have the pedigrees, and they have the experience, and I think they honestly believe that they're a better class of people who know better, who know better what's good for you and I than we do.
The only disagreement I would have with you on this is, I know it's the Republican from the right story, and I agree with you that that's going on in government, but it's also going on in business. I mean, if you think the top 500 people at Commonwealth Edison that make five times what they probably ought to because they're a public utility, you don't think that they deserve it? Do they think they deserve it?
I agree with you. No, I'm with you on that. I think in the business world, at least the major corporation world is populated with the same mentality. Less so when you get down to the more typical company that maybe hires, you know, 50 people or less, sometimes, you know, companies that maybe hire 250 people or less, those tend to be run by a different kind of CEO.
Our kind of people, basically.
Normal people. What I would refer to as normal people who have a little bit of a touch.
I mean, Jeff Bezos,
not all of them, by the way, you know, but, you know, the kinds of CEOs that can go walk on the warehouse floor and talk to people and have normal conversations.
Well, Jeff Bezos actually thinks it's like the money equivalency of the Peter Principle. I mean, he actually thinks that he should own and editorialize a newspaper because he manages to form a company that didn't pay taxes for. I know I'm shortchanging him. They've had a lot of innovations, but it didn't pay taxes for a lot of times. They got a massive advantage, and now guess what? They run warehouse facilities where they pay people less than everybody else and won't let a union in. Well, duh, George Pullman did that 100-some years ago. That's not new, is it? Pay people less and not let them organize. Duh. Hey, I got a good one, though, for you. Well, a good one only because what possesses me to do this, Kevin? I have no idea. Someday Dr. Blade's going to have to give me the cold slap in the face? Was it Aqua Velva? I decided I'm absolutely mystified, obviously, and it's cost me some dough. I'm mystified with all the assets shooting up like there's no tomorrow with this inflation. The only one that isn't, or the only ones that aren't, are gold and silver. Like all the other metals have, steel, iron ore, you name it, they've all gone up. Every soybeans, corn, everything. The only thing that hasn't gone up is the traditional stores of wealth. Now, obviously, the world has changed somewhat, so I'm not saying that should be where every millennial runs to is gold, but it doesn't mean that everything else should move except those. And so I was digging around in the Weimar Republic history, and I got this thing from Seeking Alpha. I mean, I went through a few articles, so it's not just them, because I'm trying to find. Now, for those that don't know, the Weimar Republic was a German governorship, whatever you want to call it, from January 1919 to November 1923. And where I'm going here is how much politics can change the price of things. And so gold from in 1919, as these guys started to pour out more Deutschmarks, we've gone over before why they did that. They did that to screw up the payments mechanism to France and Britain for World War One. So that if they lower the value of their currency dramatically and had to pay stuff to France and England, They thought they could renegotiate the deal, which they ended up doing, but they eviscerated their population in the meantime. Anyway, guess gold went from 170 marks per ounce in 1919 to guess how much in 1923, at the end of 23, Kevin?
Oh, I couldn't begin to guess. What's the number?
How about 87 trillion?
Just a little rounding.
Yeah. Silver went from 12 to nearly 544 billion. Okay, but here's the thing that's interesting, which I never thought I'd find. I mean, I suspected that was the answer. I just wanted to get real numbers on it instead of me just shooting from my behind. But here's what's weird. The gold-silver ratio actually was together almost the whole way. It was there was a range between 14 and 16 times higher than gold was 14 to 16 times higher than silver. And a lot of people play that ratio now with our stuff. And now we've got gold is, where the hell is gold? It's 1800, say, and silver is, $26. Well, it's more than 14 to 16. By the way, it's down again today. So, but the interesting part, at one point, this totally shot up in 1923. And people try to figure out why it shot up. I mean, why did it go? It says the ratio leapt to 160 from, say, 15. On the week beginning October 23rd, 1923, and stayed there till the price record ends in November when they get the new government and the new marks. So all of a sudden, within 1 week, Kevin, it jammed up from, it just went up 10 times, the ratio between the two. And you say to yourself, why would that be, Batman? But get a load of this. Here's the history of the Republic in that October. October 26th, 23rd, the guy, Dr. Gustav, whatever the hell his name is, forms a second cabinet. On October 20th, General Alfred Mueller marches on Saxony to prevent a communist takeover. Some other guy in Bavaria is relieved of command by Berlin. He refuses to leave. In October 23rd, 3 days later, the communist takeover of Hamburg. And then 2 days later, that was suppressed. November 8th, well, if I've ever read any Hitler, was Hitler's beer hall putsch. Remember that? That's what sent him in. The next day, it was quelled. And he went to jail, and that's when he wrote Mein Kampf, right? But all this stuff, in this 2 month period, the country looked like it was coming down. So people started to leave, and they wanted to take their store of value with them. Well, in case you are a dumbo on the subject, it's obviously, in terms of dollar value, is as tough as it is to carry gold around, it's a hell of a lot easier to carry silver than silver in terms of, money per pound, right, Kevin? So they think what happened.
I will go with that.
So they think what happened.
I've never slept around a lot of gold, so I couldn't tell
but
you.
But I mean, if we thought things were going to hell here and we had some dough, and said we're just leaving, you could conceivably go somewhere and turn in all your stuff, and you could get out of the country with 5 pounds of gold, you know, whether in a coins or whatever, in your suitcase. You're probably not going to get out with 50 pounds of silver, or it's going to be tough walking, right? So they think that the whole change in the ratio of silver to gold had to do with people leaving and gold being more transportable. Now, you would never have guessed a normal playing that spread, which people do. You would never have thought politics would come into that spread to the extent it did, but it did. So there's kind of a lesson in the politics, you know, that we talk about in Stocks and Jacks. Does affect, sometimes dramatically, sometimes seemingly not at all, does affect stock prices, does affect your business, does affect the value of your dollar. I mean, I don't know, I would be very unpopular on national TV if I went on and said the prices of houses and used cars that are up 50%, they're up 25% this year, they're not up at all, it's the dollar's just down. They would look at me like I had four heads. But you know what, Kevin? That's the truth. And how many people look at it that way? Just not very many. But here's one more before I get off this topic, which I should have off a while ago. Guess what the highest number of the old Reichsmark, before they issued new ones, they decided, okay, throw those out, which is not so good with your currency. Guess what, one of them, the top tick, what were, was one of them, how many did it take of those things to equal one U.S. dollar?
Don't know.
How about 4 billion 2? Now that's a number.
That's pretty darned interesting.
Even if you got $100 bills, that's a lot of $100 bills to get or 100 Reich bills to get $1.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time carrying that down the tarmac to the airplane as I was leaving the country.
Well, I think they remember how lira, they had like 10,000 note liras and stuff that people were carrying around. I mean, 10,000 lira was what, $8 or something at one point, or $10? So, I mean, there have been other currencies that got that, but can you imagine, you couldn't put $4 billion on the piece of currency twice, could you? You wouldn't have enough room. You'd have to just have one number on top instead of a dollar on both sides, right?
So is it $8 billion to ride the bus?
Well, I don't think the bus was $2, but yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Yeah, exact change required, man. Yeah.
Well, people were demanding to get paid hourly so they could run down the block and buy something because the prices were going up so fast. And you know what? This is what our guys are telling us to not be worried about. So don't worry. We're not giving you the numbers. We got it under control. I don't. You know.
Trust me. Yeah, trust me.
You know what? This reminds me of talking about a story.
You know, that always takes me back to the Animal House scene. You remember after the road trip, and they had taken Flounder's older brother's car and just trashed it.
Yeah.
And so Flounder is they're standing in the garage, and Flounder is bemoaning what's he going to tell his brother. And Tim Matheson, fraternity president, Eric Stratton, damn glad to meet you.
Yep.
He puts his arm around him and goes, Flounder, you bleeped up. You trusted us.
Well, this reminds me of one of our buddies, one of our good buddies, we'll go nameless, was driving a CTA bus during one of the summers at Notre Dame. I don't know if you remember the story, our buddy D. They went by and I showed him the route during the day. Well, of course, he gets his first driving assignment at night. So he's got a pretty full bus for a night, and a lot of them are, cleaning ladies from downtown and so forth, and they're just trying to get home. Well, he somehow makes a wrong turn. And of course, the entire bus goes up in outrage. These ladies they're shaking umbrellas at him. And so he pulls into a Jewel parking lot to, turn the bus around. And his famous line was, "Don't worry, everything's under control." I'm thinking nobody believed him. Sort of like when you listen to our people now. I mean, I don't believe any of these. I don't get it, Kevin. The thing that maybe upsets me the most is what I think they think of me, and I just feel insulted every time they open their mouth. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's it. SP Futures up 3. NASDAQ Futures down 17. Waiting for the labor number. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. but I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as they do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 3.25 and Nasdaq futures down 15. Hey, while I'm going through this, you two mavens can either find a name or think up a name of what five strikeouts equals. And
it's got to be something sombrero.
It's got platinum. Platinum sombrero.
I actually think that's pretty good.
That's not bad, actually.
Yeah, because golden is four, right?
Yep.
So yeah, three strikeouts. I don't know what you. Does that have a name? Three strikeouts.
Three is a hat trick.
Okay, I like that. Yeah,
And then four is the golden sombrero, and five. I think we just call it the Chicago Cubs.
Well, even though he's on the Mets,
or lately the White Sox, actually.
Yeah. Well, United Airlines will require
striking out like crazy lately.
Will require 67,000 U.S. employees to get vaccinated. You see, yesterday were to CNN. Tell me, Maddie, in your knowledge of the entertainment business, that the five people or four people that they fired yesterday for not being vaccinated, that they didn't have something in for those guys to start with. I'm just saying.
I missed that. So CNN fired four people that
four or five because they
refused
wouldn't
to get vaccinated?
Yeah.
On-air people?
I don't think so, but they didn't name them, at least from what I saw.
Interesting.
Anyway, over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 31.2%, FTSE up 2, call that flat. Kick around up 18.2. We're slow before the jobs.
I can honestly say I've never watched CNN before. Not for 1 minute.
I have only like on election night or something. I switch back and forth. That's the only time.
Yeah.
Boy, are you missing it, Matt?
I don't watch Fox either.
I don't watch Fox either, but I have actually seen Fox before. I don't watch MSNBC either, but I have seen it before. But I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched CNN before, ever.
I actually saw a poster. Somebody
said, is it better or worse than MSNBC?
It's sillier. Fox can goes off the deep end on the right. MSNBC goes off the deep end on the left. But they're all it's nonsense, but it's silly, but it's not. They're serious. CNN is just stupid.
All right, give me a second. Give me a second to finish this. We'll pick that up because I got a question for you. Nikkei up 91.3%. Shanghai down 8.2%. Hang Seng down 25.1%. That's the quietest day Hang Seng's had in like weeks. This is a review of yesterday. A big day in here. Dow up 271. S&P futures or S&P up 24. Nasdaq up 114. So across the board up. I think S&P's at a new record high. Bonds 10-year. Up four basis points to 1.25, still pretty darn low. The Bund up one to minus 0.48, and Japan is positive 0.01 after nicking down slightly below zero for like 1 day. Oil up 96 cents, 70.05, back over 70 bucks. Brent up a buck, 72.31. Natural gas down a penny at 4.12. RBOB up 2 cents, 2.31. We've got gold down 9.40, back under 1,800, 17.99.50. Silver down 25 cents, 25.03. Copper up 4 cents, 4.39. And we've got Bitcoin up down 271, but still over 40,000 and rallied last night. I mean, yesterday after we did it on the show, it's 40,659. So everything's going up except gold. Manny, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues already this morning, which is kind of rare on a Friday first thing, but we have a crash on the inbound Eisenhower just as you're approaching 9094 here at downtown. That's causing some stop-and-go traffic if you're coming inbound on I-290, so keep that in mind. We also have a crash on the inbound Bishop Ford just before Cottage Grove Road. That crash supposedly has just become clear, but there's some resulting congestion from that. And then just south of there, right off the Bishop Ford at 130th Street and Stony Island, there was a crash involving injuries that just happened as well. So a few issues already out there. Make sure you behave yourself this morning because we usually don't have a lot of accidents and high traffic volumes on Fridays. We'd like to keep it that way. Edens and Kennedy looking good. No issues to report there. Stevenson's all quiet. Same for the Ryan and I-57. Off the expressways, out west, there's a crash on Route 83 right at Ogden Avenue. And then on the northwest side, Oakton Street at Milwaukee, there is a crash. But everything else all quiet. Weather today, clouds and chances of showers on and off throughout the day today. We'll have some sunshine a little bit this afternoon, too. Warm temperatures, a high of 83, but rain in the forecast for the first time in, I don't know, 10 days. We haven't had a lot of rain lately, but should get some showers today. Right now it's overcast, still dry, and 73 going up to a high of 83. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 108 today. Right now it's clear and 92. In sports, the Royals seem to own the White Sox lately as they took 2 of 3 down on the south side, winning last night 3-2. This after they took 3 of 4 down in Kansas City from the White Sox. White Sox travel up to the north side this afternoon to take on the Cubs, who dropped 2 of 3 in Denver, losing 6-5 yesterday afternoon to the Rockies. That's a 1:20 first pitch today at Wrigley. It'll be day game today, day game tomorrow, and then the Sunday night baseball game between the Cubs and Sox. Unfortunately for the fans, the Cubs are fielding a Triple-A team now, so you won't really recognize anyone. But a month ago, this was a matchup people were looking forward to. Lastly, the Diamondbacks lost in extra innings 5-4 to the Giants in 10. And real quick, we'll take a snapshot at our Olympic Games medal count. Right now, China is in the lead as far as gold medals are concerned. They've won 34 golds, with the U.S. in second at 30, and Japan in third with 22. But with the overall medal count, the U.S. is pulling away 94 overall medals for the United States, followed by China with 75, and the Russian Olympic Committee in third with 62.
Jake. Do either of you mavens know the difference in numbers of people that the Russia Olympic Committee has versus what the Russian team, what it looks to me like they're still doing pretty good.
Third in overall medals, so they must have a full squad or close to it.
So all those people, in theory, went through the committee individually and just weren't part of the, quote, Russian team.
Exactly.
So we don't know if the Russian team would have been 200 people and they've got 30 people or 190.
I don't. I'm sure I could look
into
it.
I'm just kind of curious because it looks to me like I don't know how much better they'd have done. Because Ukraine, all those people all have their own places now, right?
Right.
Their own teams. Anyway, Kevin, I got one for you. I stopped by, like I said, I was mentioned earlier that the favorite downtown Trader Watering Hole series has been open for a couple days. Last night, no, I'm not going there, you know, for the normal reason. I'm going there to do research for Stocks and Jacks.
So of course.
So I talked to the guy who's not running it since our buddy Billy retired. And boy, miss him. Good, been a friend forever. His dad was a big star in Tennessee. Maddie,
football.
And Kevin, yeah, football. Little guy, but he was a guard down there or something.
Lou's dad was a player at Tennessee too back in the day.
Well, but all the Bears used to hang out over at their place. With one of the buildings, original restaurants down here was Orlando's, and Abe Gibran used to hang in there, and Muggs Hallis, and that place. Boy, talk about people sad the day Muggs died. They were all big friends of Muggs over there. And the Muggs evidently recorded it, and anybody was the nicest guy I ever met. And I'm not so sure that Virginia married into the nicest guy, but I've never met him, so I won't say anything. But I will say Muggs was very popular. Anyway, so he was telling me, we talked to him for like 20 minutes regarding all the liquor companies and all the, you know, the places that pop delivery people and all the food delivery people that normally would be all over downtown. In 17 months... being closed, I mean, those people Kevin, your routes change. I mean, I know a lot of people, ladies in the liquor industry that are, you know, salesmen and so forth. And, well, if you know one and you start to go over their house, you meet all the others, right? Because they're all their pals. They had their biggest, this is one of the beverage firms. I won't say which one. They had their best year ever last year in terms of, booze volume. Now, they probably didn't sell as much high-end stuff as you would get maybe at a downtown bar, but their volume, but all the people who used to work at McCormick Place places, the places downtown, and they'd go and give the wine tastings at these places, but all those people were all reassigned, and basically there's people who were selling high-end stuff to the places downtown were now stacking shelves in Binnie's and those kinds of places. I mean, the booze was still being sold. It was just spread out all these over these regular places.
The booze has been sold. You don't think all those people look, 10 years older for no good reason. They've been drinking themselves to death.
Well, I think that's probably true. But I guess what I'm saying is it, now that like one or two places are opening downtown, I'll use the overused word, the infrastructure is just not in place. I mean, this guy's telling me...
That is, Tom, a small example of supply chain disruption.
As a matter of fact, well, they can't get the... what's the flavored seltzer water that people like to drink now with their booze? Well,
LaCroix or...
Yeah, like LaCroix or something.
Yeah. There's also the alcohol-infused ones.
Oh, yeah, but these are the not ones. Because Ceres is probably the only place on Earth, and this isn't a commercial, where when you order a drink of, like, vodka, your drink comes with ice in it. It's like a 4 ounce pour, Kevin. So the glass is full. So if you say you want vodka and tonic, they sell you a can of tonic for $1 next to it, and you have to mix it yourself. Take a sip out of the
vodka.
Well,
you have to drink two big sips of straight vodka, so you have a little bit of room to splash your tonic on the top.
Exactly. but they can't. And these are food delivery trucks. I mean, this is a place that if you said you're out of Jack Daniels at 10, the truck would have been there at 11, right? Back in the day, they can't. Matter of fact, I said to the guy, And they're out buying stuff. And this is a big place. And as a matter of fact, when it was the sign of the trader, they sold more hard booze than any place else in the city. They closed at 8 o'clock, and they weren't open on weekends. This is back when the trading floors were crazy. They probably sold more hard booze than anybody, most people, before noon. Now, you don't see people drinking in the morning anymore. But anyway, I said to the guy, tell you what, the place you should go is go to the Sam's Club. Because they still have the part where if you're a... another establishment where you're charging tax, they don't charge it a tax. I don't think anybody else does that. Costco doesn't or anything, Kevin. He goes, we don't have a Sam's card. I said, you want to borrow mine? He goes, I might take you up on that this weekend. Here's a huge place need to borrow my Sam's card, because they can't get a delivery. I mean, I don't think it'll last that long, Kevin, but this is nuts. But then again, how do you shift people back that quick?
You don't. That's the problem. So what you're describing, though, is that's just a mini version of some of the major stuff that's out of whack. And you're right; it takes time to get it reoriented. And then when you start factoring all the interdependencies, this one probably has fewer interdependencies than a lot of the stuff that we read about in the news. Things like chips or lumber or whatever. And this one, the driver shortage is more long haul than short haul. So, that factors in. This is all bleeped up, and it's not going to get better for a while.
I got a question for you. I don't know how much, I know you know a lot about the internet and stuff. You and Maddie are high end dudes. I have a chip question. Chip. If somebody has a 5-year-old car and somebody bashes into the ass end of it, and a thing gets, sold for, it gets a salvage title. Are the 20 or 25 chips in there, are they recycled? I mean, do they wear out? Or, I mean, can you just, like, I'm not saying put them in a new car, maybe in a new car, but...
Well, they last a really long time, so, yeah, they are recyclable, but whether they're the right generation to drive what's in the new car is another issue.
Ah, okay.
It might be good parts. And you have to be able to get at them too, just because, when it's chips, it may be embedded in a processor and, it's not like you can just take a screwdriver and pop it out there.
Okay, but they're built to essentially outlast the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, because I never saw a chip manufacturer. I bet that would be pretty interesting, though, a chip manufacturer. Don't you have to totally suit up and not have a peck of dust on you and everything when you go to a chip place?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I've never been in one, so you know I can't tell you.
I've seen pictures, but I just don't want one speck of dust in your.
I've read that.
When your thing is the size of your little fingernail and it runs a whole city, you don't want any dust in there. I guess I can understand that. So what do you think of the labor number is going to come out today? What are you seeing? Today's going to be very interesting. We talked to Carl when those numbers come out, because last month, if anybody remembers, the number was real big, but Carl had us losing college-educated jobs. So it seemed like almost as people ran out of their money to pay people, there were like almost big layoffs at one level, and there was huge hiring at the lower level.
And we'll see how that goes. There's, you know, there a lot of that, I am sure, is tied into some of the states now that have let the that have terminated the supplemental unemployment are actually seeing higher job numbers, or at least have been. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I think it's going to be real interesting. I hope Carl and you guys go right to the college degree number, because that was such a big thing last month. I think that will be interesting to see. I'm starting to see that a lot of companies have begun to adapt to not having the same access to labor, and so they're just starting to find other ways to get jobs done. So we may have, by buying people out of the labor market, we may have screwed them over the long term.
By
just killing their jobs completely.
Right, I have a question for those numbers. Not that many people are, quote, gone. What do you think happened? I mean, I think part of it is just, I really do believe this. Part of it is, I think, is just total arrogance on the part of management, that after 17 months of prices going through the moon, they thought they could call somebody up that was making $10 an hour and the guy would be eagerly waiting for the call. Well, what kind of arrogance that would cause you to have, I don't know how anybody could ever think that way. I certainly didn't. So a lot of it is, people coming back, and you have to pay people a lot more, and people are still whining about having to pay a few bucks more. But what do you think? There does appear, Kevin, for this period of time, that there is somewhat of a shortage. One of my Hispanic friends told me a lot of guys, when they couldn't get jobs, they're not living in Chicago in somebody's house when they can't get a job. A lot of people, despite all this border stuff here, a lot of people went back to Mexico. You think that's true?
Don't know. I don't have a sense for it, because I haven't been in the office every day. We have a lot of native people born in Mexico that I get in the classroom, but I really don't have a sense of it. If that's true, it would explain some of our struggles with the enrollment numbers. That would tend to make sense.
I mean, I know that a lot of people, especially I keep going back to the series, but they had wait staff in there, that shall we say, when the trading floors were good. Was that a job you wanted, or it had to be one of the most premier jobs in the city for a wait person? Am I right or wrong on that, Matty? Some of the ladies that used to work there 10 years ago owned seats, for God's sake, in apartment buildings. Not so much anymore, but because there's not that many traders around, but it was a premier spot. And yet I know pretty well two or three of the people, one of whom used to be a assistant producer on the show, Jay-Z. Well, she's got a real good job she graduated DePaul. She's got a real good job at a human resource firm. Talented girl. That's exactly she's not going back to waitress, even at a place like Sirius, even though it's good money. I think people just kind of went on with themselves and got something better in a lot of cases, but that's not what Carl's seeing. He's seeing kind of the opposite, Kevin, which is weird.
I'm also seeing a lot of, anecdotally, hard to find well-trained people. So that would be consistent with, the idea that they're finding different ways around things, around labor shortage. And what I mean by that is when you start consolidating activities, when you start automating more and so on, then the skill level of the people you do hire needs to be greater. And I think we're seeing a certain shortage of that. And remember, that doesn't necessarily mean college educated. It just means people who can, work with technology, work with automation, work with robots, and things that need to be fixed and need to be calibrated and need to be serviced and all of that. You know, it's not just assembling things on a line anymore.
Well, Kevin, I
think you're seeing a faster movement toward in that direction. We're already going that way, and you're just seeing a faster movement in that direction right now because it's the way that businesses are coping.
Well, Kevin, why? I guess I think an advantage here, and so do you, in that I work for a manufacturing company, and I went there for the experience, and it was the best move I ever made. Not probably monetarily, I could have come to the floor earlier, but in terms of view of the world. But why would anybody think, in today's world, if you decided that you wanted to, if somebody lobbed me a rail car contract that for the next 5 years I was building RTA cars or something, why would anybody not think that if I could find, I probably could, this is America, if I could find 10, 15 people that were still railroad engineers, knew this kind of stuff, I'd probably have to get them out of one of the repair facilities or someplace, that the first 4 to 6 months, if I hired 50 people, I'd be doing welding 101. I'd be teaching people how to read a drawing. Why would anybody think differently? I mean, we haven't done that for so long. It's not like we can't. I mean, when Pullman started back in 18, wherever the hell he started, you don't think he kicked some guy off the farm and a guy knew how to weld. Right? I don't think there was welding back then. But you had to teach everybody who walked in your place. The first thing you did was put them in your manufacturing facility class. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, obviously places like...
There are quite a few businesses out there who are willing to say, get me people with the right human skills, people who can, work in teams and handle diversity, handle diverse workforce in all its dimensions. And people who can do a little research and solve problems and speak clearly. If you get me those, I can train them. And yes, there are businesses that do that. But again, when you're talking about these small job shops and specialty manufacturers, and they only have 50 or 60 people working there, they don't have a training staff. So they count on, some of the local, like a community college, to do a lot of that training. And so if we can get enough people through, the program and ready to go to work, they're still going to have a little bit of, specific training for that company that needs to be done, but they're not picking up, welding for the first time. They know how to come in and make a good weld, or they know how to come in and recalibrate, some of the robotic equipment.
Well, yeah, if you can get somebody with that kind of training, it's nice. But by and large, it's not. I mean, some of these guys today. I mean, of course, who knows what people say when they're on TV? You have your routine where they set you up, and that's what aggravates me so much about CNBC is that and the Fox. Well, Fox is. By the way, I got a poster thing in the mail yesterday. It had to do with being stupid, which I don't think anybody's ever totally stupid, but it had to do with if you're really stupid.
You watch Brian Stelter.
Yeah, but if you're really stupid, do you know that you're stupid? So it got into if you're stupid and you watch Fox all day long and you don't think it's stupid, it must mean you. Anyway, it was a pretty contrived thing. It was pretty clever though the way the guy did it. They've had different times even at a place like Pullman. It was around for 100 and some years. They were the oldest company in the New York Stock Exchange. There were times when I was there, they said in the 60s it was so good at picking people up that you could pick up a joiner that pretty much everybody who was a union joiner knew how to read a drawing. You pretty much give them a drawing and the guy could start making your bathroom. But a joiner is essentially a carpenter for a railroad car. He said, but then it got to the point where when I was there, when I left, if they were hiring a joiner, they would tape on a big board, Kevin, like a pliers, a screwdriver. If you could identify all the things that were on there, that got you in the door for training. So they never attempted to ask if you could. But there's been iterations of this you know, for the last 150 years, right and left. I mean, there were people who were very skilled, and you could get somebody and you'd start doing something the first day, to where you'd get people, and you wouldn't let them anywhere near anything the first day, right? I mean, there's people, I'm sure, that are hired even in some of these work teams that are doing very well, remodeling people's homes since nobody did anything for a year. I'll bet they have, you're starting off there as the guy who does nothing but carry everything, right? And all of a sudden, they might let you screw the plasterboard in, and if you get a little better, they let you tape it. If you get a little better net, you get to be the finished car. You don't start day one, but you know. And I think some of these guys, I honestly believe that whatever they want at the price they want to pay, somebody should show up. And maybe that's the lesson with all the stuff going to China for all these years. Maybe that's the way it's been, that these guys could kind of name their price and get somebody good. And over time, that price, in my mind, has become really lower than it ought to be. And now, all of a sudden, the price is going up, and the people aren't as trained, and these guys are pissed off, basically. Is that what I'm seeing?
I think you're describing at least part of it, yeah. But part of it is that, you know, it's been an identified need for a long time. It's just that everything got put on hold for so long. You know, state of Indiana, for example, has this workforce ready grant that, you know, that pays for training in specific industries, and that includes things like robotics. You know, basically, if you don't have a college degree, they'll pay for you to get, you know, to complete a certificate course at a place like, you know, my place. You know, it's a need. It's been a need for a long time. That existed because they're saying if we want manufacturing in this state, then we need, you know, this is the skills we need, and so that, you know, that's their economic development focus.
Well, yeah, hey, I watched the Olympics a little last night. Very personal question, Kevin. I know you go out on your lake and you use your kayak. I was watching the ladies in the kayaking stuff last night. How come you don't go as fast and you don't look like them?
Well, I probably am never going to look like the ladies.
No.
At least not. Maybe on weekends. But
I'm not saying, but this, you wouldn't grope one of their behinds. If they clack you, you'd know you were clacked.
I am not even going to start down that road.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
But they,
no, I'm not, you're not going to turn me into a New York governor.
I would say, as bad as that guy is, I wouldn't put him any. I think Trump is in the Grope Hall of Fame, and yet he was president. And this guy's going to be tossed out as being governor.
Well, yeah, he is. But, you know, part of that is when you take the hardline stance, you know, you're totally outraged in the past by all of this and fully embrace the Me Too movement and get exposed as a hypocrite. It really does tend to come crashing down on you.
Yeah, I'm shocked there's gambling in this establishment.
He's just made a lot of enemies along the way.
Oh, God, yes.
This guy's a jackass.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. Kevin, take care of yourself, buddy. Have a nice weekend. Go out and do some kayaking, you know. Get yourself in shape.
I'm going to go out and ride my exercise bike and listen to you and Carl.
Do you have to bring that outside to ride?
I keep it outside in the summer.
Okay, that makes sense. SP Futures up a buck and a half, NASDAQ Futures down 20. Mr. Carl Denninger after the break.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of HomeSource Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and a good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down, up 175. NASDAQ futures down 21. We were up huge yesterday, and we're just kind of hanging here waiting for the jobs number. Carl, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
All right. I was. I watched a little bit of the Olympics. It was the last night or night before. I'm watching both nights, but it's starting to blend together. And sometimes, Carl, you and I, even though we don't know that that's our subject, we kind of wander off into something where we're talking about, you know, differences in perspective. Well, obviously, I do that all the time in inflation. I don't want to do that again. But I was watching the ladies rowing, or not rowing, it was kayaking, right? And this one lady's, you know, pretty much, well, they kept saying how much she was kicking butt, right? And they show her, and she's, first of all, an inordinately attractive young lady. And this thing, the kayaks are like a lot longer than the ones, you know, you and I might plunk in a lake. They're big, long things. And she's, you know, smacking this thing along, and the thing is not varying from center by, you know, a half a degree, and he's just every stroke, and the guy's going, every stroke with this lady is, you know, every stroke counts, and blah, 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 and I'm sitting there going, the lady's a machine, not even breathing hard, I mean, just unreal, and they keep talking about how she's the class of the world, and blah, 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 and somehow I think, Carl, these guys, or these, whoever the announcers are, because half of them are women, they absolutely lose some sort of perspective, because the two ladies right behind her are not even a boat length behind her. And,
right.
And the last person in the field is maybe a boat length and a half behind her. And this thing's over like some super long distance. And I'm saying she's losing by half a second or a second. The perspective of, you totally lose the perspective of how good the last person is in that race compared to anybody else, and all they talk about is how much better the girl is up front than the girl who's coming in sixth. And you know what? It's like Matty Weber goes out and plays four rounds of golf and he gets his ass kicked. Well, what did Matty shoot? 282. What did the other guy shoot? 281. Well, it wasn't exactly an ass kicking. I mean, the guy that shoots a 282 is pretty darn good too. We've totally lost perspective at how good all these people are, and I wonder why that is. I mean, is it just not good theater or what?
Well, yeah, I think that's part of it. It's I've always found that to be kind of interesting. You know, there's certain sports that I enjoy and others I don't. I have studiously ignored the woke Olympics this time around. The opening ceremonies, I caught about 2 minutes of it in a pub, and I was done.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody parading around with masks on, and I'm like, nope, I'm done. I didn't even have to watch anything else. I'm just like, nah, I'm sorry. You know, and then a couple days ago, I saw some little piece of it. They were doing the two-man small sailboats.
Well, that's
okay,
me.
Or
that's
actually
me
two neat. Women. It was the women's teams, and the guy with that's sitting on one of the buoys with the flag. Okay, you know, the flagger for the start, right? He's outside with a mask on. Okay, there's nobody within 30 feet of him. All right, and I'm like, you got to be joking me, all right? I mean, I get it, protocols and whatever, but there's a point at which it just gets stupid, and I'm like, I'm not having anything to do with this. But, yeah, I mean, one of my absolute favorite Olympic sports is biathlon.
Yeah.
Simply because it looks easy. I assure you, it is not.
Well, what the summer biathlon? What the winter biathlon is? You're skiing and shooting. What's the summer biathlon?
Correct. I don't know that they have a summer one, but the winter one. I mean, that's the one that I really enjoy watching because, you know, I know what's involved in precision shooting, in terms of breath control, and everything else. And when you are cross country skiing is one of the toughest cardio sports there is. It is way tougher than just about anything else, and it's low impact, which means that a lot of people have trouble with running because their joints or whatever have you. Cross country skiing doesn't have that problem, but boy, if you want to talk about cardio workout, go do that.
Well, it does if you try and go downhill and you'll fall on your head.
Well, it depends. I mean, the skis are made very differently than downhill skis. They're constructed differently. They work differently. I know how to use both, but when I was much younger, I used to cross country ski once in a while, and you want to talk about a workout? That was probably the best workout I ever had.
Well, the only time I went on a couple of times. The first time, I was actually in pretty good shape. So going uphill, not fast, was okay. Going downhill with only your toes attached to the ski, I kept falling all the time, and it was after I was a pretty good downhill skier.
Well, it's a question of figuring out exactly how you can't ski cross country skis downhill the way you ski a downhill skis downhill. It doesn't work.
Well, this was
up on your face.
Well, this was on a trail in the woods, so you couldn't go off the trail. How the hell what's your break? So when I got back, the guy says, "Oh yeah, well that's why they have a hook on the poles. You're supposed to put them between your legs and use the poles as a break." And I'm going, "Well, why didn't you tell me that before I went out?" Anywho, what do you think of the numbers today? What do you think is going to happen? We've had the surprise to the downside, the surprise to the upside, and the average is pretty close to the predicted average, hasn't it been for the last couple months?
Yeah, ADP is a funny company because you'd think, given the breadth that they have, that they'd nail it pretty good, right? But you'd be wrong about that. I've followed them for an awfully long time. They send me their email about an hour or so after they publish their thing, and I go through it and look at it. And it's not nearly as detailed as the BLS. It's just small, medium, large, and some anecdotal notes and things like this. But I think there's a real problem coming here, just because you still have this crazy tightness in the market, and now you have companies that are sitting out there threatening people with mandates, and the pushback is coming fast and hard. There was just this morning there was a report out that the police officers union in Denver, which has about 40%, a little more than 40% of their people are vaccinated. The city said you must all be vaccinated by by October 1st. And the police union said, no, we're not. So what are they going to do? Fire 60% of their cops?
Well, United Airlines, who claims they can't get people back, just ordered, 67,000 people to be vaccinated today?
Yeah, so what happens when they say we'll do this, and everybody and all the people out there say, no. I mean, you think about it, you have even 10% within most organizations. If they're the 10% that actually make the wheel go, right? Because how this works. There's an awful lot of people who really don't make the wheel go. They have jobs, but they're not the reason that the company operates. You have those. Yeah. If 10% of the people that actually make the wheel go put the middle finger up instead and say, "Go ahead, fire me," then the game's over. And think about what happens if that starts happening within hospitals. You have nurses that wait until we start getting another really nasty surge like they claim we have going on right now. But Tennessee just tried to run this BS about pediatric admissions, and it was a complete lie. Their data is published, and the kids that are getting admitted right now are not getting admitted with COVID. They're getting admitted with RSV, which is a virus that normally doesn't show up until the winter. Well, this year, guess what? It's flattening kids in the middle of the summertime. And so, they're running this BS about, this as the reason. Well, guess what? There is no vaccine for RSV. It doesn't exist. They've tried to come up with one for the last 20 years. All of them have either failed or made the disease worse. And so now, what do you do? You think the nurses don't know this? Of course they do. So what happens if, 20% of them just turn around and walk out in the middle of a surge? There's nothing you can do.
Well, Carl, what I was, I shouldn't do this, but earlier, I'm not going to go through it again. I went through and did some research on gold and silver prices in the Weimar Republic, right? And it was, anyway, pretty fascinating. But when you reach a point where I think that, here's where I am on this, because I've been reading stuff from Singapore and other places. I do believe at this point, and I might disagree with you a little bit here, that by and large, the vaccines have seemed to be pretty safe. All right, now, just let me finish before you tell me I'm wrong on that. But the I think that right now, that it looks to me like in Singapore, where they have all these people already vaccinated, and they're still having a problem with the Delta variant, but people aren't getting all that sick and they're not dying, that the one comment was, in 2 months we're going to be like 90% vaccinated, and there's no thought here that we're not going to have this thing. We just, it appears that for any individual person, you know, person you care about that's over 60 or over 50, that they are much better off if they contract this Delta variant having had the vaccine. Now, I believe that's true. And I think that the policeman in such and such a place probably should get vaccinated. But not to the point where I have to force them to. If they want to take that chance, take that chance. But have we reached the point where no matter what government says, I mean, if there's a Democrat in office, Republicans are just not going to believe him, because A, he's not believable, I believe. And the guy before him was a Republican, it was absolutely unbelievable. So somehow we have to turn this bus around, Carl, where the people that you essentially hire, the hired help, which is the president, by the way, he's our employee, that they don't get to lie to you. I mean, the idea right now, they should come out and say, look, this Delta variant is not as bad as the other one. Plus, we know how to treat it better if it does get bad. You're probably not going to die even if you get it. But if you get the vaccines, it's like the flu. You get it a hell of a lot less. And, oh, by the way, why do you want to do that to people? It's, you know, if you don't have to go through that, you shouldn't have to. These vaccines are pretty. Why don't we just say that and leave it up to people's common sense? I think part of this is a revolt against people being told what to do. Isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. And although I would disagree in a handful of areas, some of the data that's coming in, and this is what happens when you speed things up and you don't take the time to collect the data first. Okay, this is not malicious; it's stupid. And we did what Trump did in this regard was stupid. And it's just, there is no substitute for time to figure out what happens over time. There isn't, you know, there's no way to short circuit that. And so the problem is that what we're now seeing in Israel and in the UK and in Iceland, and Iceland is especially important because Iceland, and Israel for that matter, have both vaccinated nearly everybody in the country other than kids under 12. And they are both seeing tremendous spikes in infections, and they're seeing people end up in the hospital who were vaccinated. Now, that's not supposed to happen. The last part of it, remember, what we were originally told was it was 97% effective in preventing you from getting the virus. Okay, well, guess what? We now have news articles showing up that say, yeah, we had 14 fully vaccinated people went to a party, 11 of them got COVID. Okay, that's obviously not 97% effective. All right? I mean, how many of those do you need? What are the probability that, you know, that all the odds stacked up that way? It's about 1 in 15,000,
yeah,
or something.
Wait a second, Carl. I don't want to interrupt because you did not interrupt me, but I'm going to anyway. The way the test was handled originally, the placebo versus the vaccine, they only collected information on people that came back sick. They had no idea. They didn't test. I mean, maybe they didn't publish it that I read. They did not test on people who actually caught the disease, maybe would have tested positive if they were tested, and it didn't bother them, and they were asymptomatic or were light symptoms. All they cared about was people not going to the hospital and dying, which is probably all you really should be caring about on something like this. I mean, how do we know it wasn't like this from day one? That was never part of the 90% number that you would
control. Well, actually, it was. That was the question was symptomatic infections, not hospitalizations.
Well, enough to come back and say you were sick. It was on you.
Correct, but yeah. here we got 11 of 14 people that went to a party that got symptomatically ill.
Okay, symptomatic. All right, fair enough. All
right. Right, they got symptoms. Okay, I mean, they ran a fever. They felt like crap. You know, I mean, they didn't die, but, you know, they ran a fever, felt like crap. We were told that wasn't going to happen. It did happen. All right, so obviously, and here's the thing. If you're immune, I don't care what the transmissibility of a virus is. I'll walk into a room full of, with, you know, people that have measles. I'll walk right into the room because I believe that the vaccine that I took for measles years and years ago, I got it because I was born late enough that, you know, that it was available, that immunity is still good. It doesn't matter that measles has an R0 of 14. Makes no difference. Okay, I'm not going to get the measles because I'm immune, no matter how transmissible it is. All the people that are saying that Delta has somehow changed things, it's a load of nonsense. What they did with the vaccines is they built a narrow immunity that is easily evaded. What we have for data is that prior infection is almost 100% effective against getting infected again. And yet, if you're vaccinated, that's not true. And it just has to do with the fact that we didn't target the whole virus, we only targeted part of it. Well, guess what? That turns out to have been stupid.
The only people that anywhere I've heard that espouse the idea that if you actually have had the COVID like I did, that your immunity is better because it's the whole virus are you and me. Nobody else has any idea what we're talking about.
Well, you know what? That's a load of nonsense because there's scientific studies out on this.
I know, but it's not getting out. It's absolutely...
Well, I know. And you know what's even worse is that they're telling people if they had COVID to go get the jab, okay, that it would boost their immunity. Well, as it turns out, the data is starting to come in that not only does it not boost it, it damages it.
Well, my doc told me that at the 8-month mark, which is where I am, he said you probably should get the vaccine, but don't get it before. Now, does that make sense?
No.
How long do you think I'm immune?
We now have a year and a half worth of data on people that had COVID and recovered. And what we found is that the immunity generated by natural infection is good more than 95% of the time.
For how long is the question?
We have not found any decrease in breakthroughs.
Okay.
And there was one study that was done, which I don't know how they got people to do this, because it's an incredibly painful procedure. They sampled people's bone marrow.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they managed to get people to do that, because, I mean, that's a crazy, you know, you do that like if you're giving a marrow transplant to somebody that has cancer or something like that, right? It's an insanely painful procedure.
They actually
managed to do this, and they found that from prior infection, that the antibody generating the process had migrated into the marrow, which strongly implies that the protection from that is lifetime.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll never hear that.
Oh no, you won't. But it's a small study, okay? And the problem with small studies is that, you know, they can be wrong, right? Because the confidence interval, you know, statistics is what it is. However, you're never going to get, you know, 10,000 people to submit to having their bone marrow sample.
Well, but I should be able to. I mean, people like me should be able to go, if there is such a thing as a vaccine card, I should be able to go and get an antibody card.
Absolutely. If you've been previously infected and recovered and you have antibodies, then even after they're not detectable in your blood, you still have T-cell reactivity, and if it's in your marrow, it will be reactivated almost instantly if you get challenged again.
Well, what do they do with the people who they claim are compromised? I read something. I wanted to ask you that you brought it up. I was the second half hour reserved for labor. What I read something about somebody who was AIDS impaired, and
right.
They managed to find something like 12 or 11 different variants, mutations in his body because his body couldn't kill it. They just kept mutating away. Is that even remotely possible?
It is, and there is a real problem. This is true, though, of all viral infections. If you are immune compromised, then the vaccine probably won't work in you, which is not good for obvious reasons. And the other thing that goes along with that is that you can become a mutational factory. The same thing happens, though, with leaky vaccines. We've known this for a long time. It's the reason that we used both oral and injected polio until the 1990s, when we'd been 20 years in America without a case, is that if you have IPV only, the injected version, you can still get polio, you can still excrete it in your stat, and therefore you can infect others. And the problem with that is it can cause mutational pressure on the virus and make it more dangerous. We've known this for 70 years. We all of a sudden forgot about it when we started doing this.
So that was the reason when I was very young, we all got polio shots, and then a few years later we got the sugar cube with the drop of something on there that was red colored.
Right. Right. I had that too, and that's the reason they did that, because they knew that this was, you know, Salk was a genius, okay, don't get me wrong, but he made a critical error, and fortunately Sabin figured out what it was, or we probably would have had a slaughter on our hands when polio mutated around that.
So people still had it just wasn't, it was, you just couldn't pass it on. You had no symptoms, but you still could give it to somebody else.
You give it to somebody else, and the problem is that when you are doing that, that is exactly the process that a virologist uses in a lab in order to create mutations on purpose.
Read Wuhan?
Yeah.
All right, so just so everybody understands what we're talking about here, what they did was they didn't want to give anybody the whole virus. They shortcut it, and they essentially gave you the spike protein, hoping your body would recognize the spike protein and go after the whole virus, correct?
Right.
And,
right. And the problem with that is that the spike is not the whole thing, obviously, okay?
Yeah.
And so the other thing, and the reason they went down this road, is that there is quite a bit of work that's been done on trying to come up with coronavirus vaccines over the years. And what ends up happening in most cases is that you end up with what's called antibody-dependent enhancement. So when you get challenged by the virus later on, the vaccine that you got makes it worse instead of helping.
Why is that? How could that happen?
Well, because there's two kinds of antibodies. There's binding antibodies and neutralizing antibodies. And if you have too many binding antibodies, then those actually help the virus get into your cells instead of destroying it. And so what they hypothesized was that if they use just the spike, they believed that what was causing this was using the nucleocapsid, the end part of the virus. And so that's why they built these things with just the spike. The problem with doing that is that that produces a very narrow kind of immunity just to that one part of the virus. And unfortunately, the coronaviruses mutate a lot. That's normal for them. This is not unique to COVID. It's all coronaviruses mutate like this.
What is the secret?
Well, Michael writes in and says, what about the PCR test being replaced by the end of the year?
Well, the PCR tests are and always have been garbage, primarily because the CDC and the NIH set the cycle threshold so high that you could have parts of the virus fragments in your body that are not active. They're not capable of transmitting it to someone else and yet read positive. Okay, now that could indicate that you had the virus at some earlier point. It also means that you could potentially have picked it up from the environment, and what you picked up was not infectious, but you don't know. So what they should have done originally was set the cycle threshold at about 30, which would have resolved that, because then at that point, with a cycle threshold and no more than 30, you're about 80% likely to have a true positive. It's much less likely that it's a false.
So that's why when I had it and I asked the chief COVID guy in the north side for the hospital group, should I go get another test? He says, no, get an antibody test. He says, you're going to be shedding that for probably 45 to 60 days, but it's all busted up. You've killed it. It's no danger for you or anybody else as long as you got the antibodies. So he
was correct.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the thing, is if you'd gotten tested, you would have tested positive even though you were long past recovered.
And long past hurting anybody else.
Well, yeah, once you get to the point that you've neutralized it, then you're still going to be shedding pieces of virus for a long period of time, sometimes as much as 2 or 3 months, and yet you can't infect anybody with that because it's not the whole thing.
I don't know if you were listening earlier. I'm going to shift gears real quick because we're on these labor numbers. What I was talking to people at the local saloon. Actually, not a saloon. I mean, it was a big place, and with, you know, two stories, and did all the cafeterias and the exchange and stuff. So it's a pretty massive production, a place for not only alcohol but food, and they claim that just to getting all the delivery people just to come back their way in the downtown area is taking quite a bit of time, and it's not. I mean, the places aren't used to coming down here because nobody's open and there are not very many people.
Right.
I mean, what do you think? How long is that going to be? It seems like it's Are people just afraid that we're going to shut down again and they don't want to hire everybody back? Are they reluctant to go to full capacity or 80% capacity because they don't know what?
I think that's fair. I think you need to have the, you know, if you want me as a business person to bring everybody back on and crank everything back up, you need to make a very clear statement that is enforceable, that this kind of thing is not going to happen again.
Well, right now you're at the point. Most people, this one, whenever I say this, Carl, I don't know why people think. I mean, there's a lot of reasons of things I say to people who should look at me and say I'm nuts, but this is not one of them. It's been 17 months. Everybody's found. Either there are the few people, and I do mean few, that are sitting on their ass with the wife beater shirt on drinking a beer, but I don't really believe that that's everybody. I think most people have found something else or moved away. And so I don't think that you're ever going to get those. It's not a question of just getting everybody. I don't think they're around. My Hispanic people tell me that a lot of people went back to Mexico. I mean, they're not here.
But why would you hang around and sit around on your butt if, you know, especially in a tight labor market like this, if somebody's giving you a hard time about some part of your job and yet, you know, you can have your pick of things. I mean, good Lord, you just walk around here. I'm sure it's the same up there. There's help wanted signs at every window.
Well, like Maddie's brother's an accomplished chef. Every shutdown here in Chicago, now he is. Well, Maddie's here, his family's here, so he didn't necessarily, but if he was just some orphan dude, why the hell wouldn't he go to Tennessee where the place is growing? That's where the movie trucks are going and the restaurants are open. Why the hell would he hang here?
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, we've been down here, you know, other than the mask stuff, our government decided, hey, guess what? You guys can all stick it. We're opening up and, you know, people can make their own decisions.
Well, you know, what's really, I mean, it bothers me on a very deep level about this whole mask thing. It's not the mask. Somebody's going to figure out that it's not healthy for healthy people to wear masks. I mean, if they haven't figured that out by now, I guess I can't help them. But the idea that freedom becomes a negotiation. Okay, your restaurant's closed. Well, I want it open. Okay, but to be open, everybody's got to wear a mask. Okay, I'll do that. I mean, once you start becoming freedom becoming a negotiation with somebody, we're on the wrong page, Carl. Because freedom is not...
I know. And you know what? 40% of the deer have COVID antibodies. Now, tell me how that happened if you can possibly interrupt transmission with masks and distancing. By the way, numbers out, 943.
So that's a little higher. Where does that... We'll come back from break, Carl. Where does that stand with you? We'll be right back. SP Futures up 3. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, North Bank Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Weber on the board. S&P futures up 5.25. It's up just a little bit since the number came out. By the way, the number was unemployment rate slides to 5.4%, so we'll get Carl's opinion on that. But 935 was the number,
930.
943. Close enough. NASDAQ futures are down 36. Dow futures up 16. Well, I think probably up more than that now. But the over in Europe, DAX up 24.5%, 0.15%. FTSE up 45 cents. We got to say that's flat. CAC around up 21.3%. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 91.3%, Shanghai down 8.2%, Hang Seng down 25.1%. We had a very quiet day for them lately. Bonds, positive 1.27 here in the U.S. That's up five basis points. The Bund, minus 0.47. That's up 2 basis points. Japan, positive 0.01. So they've just been there for a while. Oil up 55 cents, 69.64, was up over 70 the last time we did this. Brent down 66 cents, 71.95. Natural gas unchanged, 4.13. RBOB up a penny, 2.30. We've got gold down 9.30, 17.99. Silver down 21 cents, 25.08. Copper up 2 cents, 4.37. And last is our Bitcoin down 11 bucks. It's still pretty high over 40,000, 40,920. Maybe we have for traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We had an earlier crash on the tri-state northbound side just before 95th Street that has significant delays on the tri-state I-294. It looks like the crash itself has been cleared, but a lot of red on the 294. That's probably our slowest moving expressway right now, so avoid that if at all possible. We also have a closure. We mentioned this last hour, but a very serious crash at 130th and Stony Island caused injuries and has 130th closed for the accident investigation. So you'll have to navigate around that. But no issues on the Ryan I-57. We had a couple of issues on the Bishop Ford earlier this morning. Those appear to be clear, so Bishop Ford looking okay. Traffic building on the Stevenson as you approach the circle, but nothing out of the ordinary there. Eisenhower still looks good. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. Weather today, we'll have chances of showers on and off throughout the day today, lots of clouds, but we should see some sun this afternoon as well. In fact, downtown right now, the sun's peeking through. We'll reach a high of 83 with chances of rain on and off throughout the day. Right now, it is partly sunny and 74 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 108. Right now, it's clear and 93. In sports, White Sox dropped 2 of 3 to the Royals at home, losing last night 3-2. Cubs dropped 2 of 3 to the Rockies in Denver. They lost yesterday afternoon 6-5. Cubs and Sox will square off in round one of the Crosstown Classic beginning this afternoon at Wrigley. That's a 1:20 first pitch. Diamondbacks lost to the Giants 5-4 in 10 innings. And lastly, our Olympic medal count right now has China atop the leaderboard as far as gold medals are concerned. They've won 34 golds, U.S. in second with 30, Japan in third with 22. But in overall medals, the U.S. is in first place with 94 overall medals. China's in second at 75, and the Russian Olympic Committee is in third with 62 overall medals. Chief.
Carl, let me run through what I have on my naive page, then you can tell me where the naive page is wrong. This is the A1 report that if you dig in there, this is the summary. They have us with June versus July. They got us with 260,000 more people in the labor group. I don't know where they came from. We have about 1.4 million actually new jobs. We've got 300,000 more people. We got 1.4 million new jobs, and we got 700,000 people come off the unemployment. So it adds up pretty neatly both ways. If you just say, okay, some people came out of nowhere, some people came off the unemployment, and we really only had a slight decrease in the people we don't know what they're doing column. They're either retired or whatever they're doing. Is that what you read, or do you got something?
Well, I work off the NSA numbers, not seasonally adjusted, but in general, yeah. I mean, what I've got here is 1313 on the now employed weren't before, which is, I mean, 1.3 million. That's a big number. 519,000 of them came out of the you were playing with yourself on your couch.
Yep.
And now have decided that you'd rather work. So those are both. Now, last month we were playing with our self number was 1.4 million. So, but only 505,000 went into actual employment. So I think what you probably saw here was it took people a little while to decide where they wanted to go to work, and probably split the survey week or something like that. And that's why you have this. You kind of got to look at to figure out when you see something that big to say, well, you know, is there a reason, you know, how do you explain those numbers? And I think that's the explanation. The other thing that's interesting is that if you remember last month, I pointed out that there was a potentially serious problem with people with a bachelor's degree that just kind of disappeared out of the workforce, and that is reversed. So this is good in that what I was very concerned about, you know, because you can't go down in educational attainment, okay? You can go up.
Yeah.
So you can come out of the, I had an associate and go into the bachelor's degree bucket, but you can't go below, you can't go out of the bachelor's degree bucket except by dying. That's the only way that happens. But there's a very ominous thing that's showing up in the non-institutional population number. And I'm not yet ready to throw a flag on it, but I've never seen this before for an extended period of time. And that is that we have seen for over the last 20 years, we have run an average of about 2 million people, coming into the workforce. And of course it takes 16 years for someone to be born and end up in that group, right? Because that's 16 plus.
Right.
So now all of a sudden what I have here is let me just read the numbers from January forward. 1942, this is a 12-month run rate, which is about average. That's about where it should be. 1728, 1223, 1160, 1107, 1056, and 1006.
Okay.
I don't like that. That implies that there's an awful lot of people that are disappearing from existing.
Well,
and it's happening this year, not last year.
Well, from 2019, even on my naive one here, from 2019, December, plus I have to ask this question here real quick, but I got 163,539,000, and at the end of 2020, 160,742. That's 3 million people gone.
Well, and see, this is a serious. This is a civilian, non-institutional pop. Okay. I'm really, really concerned about this, because if you had a baby bust, it would have had to have happened 16 years ago. So that's not the result of lockdowns and, you know, whatever have you, because you don't count until you reach the age of 16 years in that table.
Well, I think a lot of people are retiring in Mexico and all these other places. Hey, I got a quick
question. But these are people. There's another possibility here, which is really ugly if it's true, which is that there's people that are disappearing for a different reason that are older than 16.
They're dying.
And it's happening, and it's happening this year, not last year when we had all the people that were getting hit by the pandemic.
Let me squeeze in just a quick technical question here, and then we'll get back to this before I forget it. Why don't, on this particular page, why don't the numbers from the end of the year 2020, which I guess are not seasonally adjusted, right? They're way, way different than the ones from the end of December 2020, which you would think would be the same day, that are seasonally adjusted. There's dramatic difference. There's like 2 million people differently
in
unemployment.
So January is the adjustment month when they go and they fix the population survey. So the January number always has a dislocation in it.
Well, I've got the seasonally adjusted number of last year. They've got 2 million people more working than actually were working. That's a lot.
Right. All right. So on that, so here's an example of what I'm talking about, though. So 2020-01, which was before the pandemic started, right? It was, you know, a month or two before it started. In December, the civilian non-institutional population was claimed to be 260,181. And then the next month, it was 259,502. Well, all these people just disappeared. Okay. And yet that's normal because in January they fix the skew that they've had for the previous 12 months. So every January you see that kind of screwball thing that happens in the NSA numbers. And it's in, you just have to deal with the fact that that's going to happen and it's going to be there. And so January is always a funky report for that reason. But this isn't a one-month thing here. Now we've got this going on. You know, the adjustment this last year was 261,230 in December, and then the adjustment was 260,851. Okay, that's kind of in line with normal sort of levels, right? At -670, yeah, okay, that's not that far off from where we've been before with this. I mean, the year before that was -540. But now we're seeing this on a month-by-month basis. This growth rate is collapsing. And I mean, we're not talking about little numbers here. This is half of what it normally has run for the last 20 years.
Well, it's not like evidently the pandemic didn't have the same effect as when the lights went out in New York, right?
Well, I like to look at uncorrelated data sets that people can't tamper with, okay, because the CDC and the NIH and everybody else can make whatever sort of claims they want, but they have no, absolutely zero ability to change what the BLS puts out. And the same thing with Social Security. I like to look at the Social Security data because it tells me a lot about what Social Security is spending. Well, you know, since I am kind of interested in when the Medicare system is going to blow up, CMS's, as spent numbers in the national checkbook is kind of important to me, too.
Yeah. But, well, this thing shows.
That's why I look at these data sets, and when I see something that kind of pushes my buttons, I'm like, "Wait a minute, that's not good."
Well, I guess question of what you've been saying here. I'm probably looking at the wrong stuff. I've got, if you go from the end of 2019, all right, we had 259 million people in the civilian that means people not in jail, right, or not in a mental institution, basically.
Well, what that basically is that 16 plus not in jail. Not in a mental institution, exactly. Yeah, I mean, essentially, if you're institutionalized, you don't count.
All right, and I've got us with essentially 2,000,003 more people than the end of in that group from the end of 2019. I've got 2 million people less employed. I've got 4 million people in the we don't know what they're doing column, and I've got 2 million people in the unemployed column. So it matches up relatively. I mean, I'm not saying these are good numbers, but they seem to match up.
Yeah, they do, and that's, you know, that I mean, everything seems to add. What I don't like is the deceleration of something that had to have happened 16 years ago, and yet I don't believe it did. Okay, I mean there was no evidence that we were having a bust in people deciding to have children in 2005.
Well, you're right. According to this, it slowed down because in 2017 there's
well, it didn't slow down a little.
Well,
it,
2000
it dropped by half.
Oh yeah, I've got that's right. I got it from 217 to 218. It's like 2.7 million people. 218 to 219, it's like 1.7 or something. Then to 2020, it's only up like 800,000, and now we're barely up at all into this year. So that's what you're talking about.
The 12 month run rate for 2020-07 to 2021-07 is 106, which is half the historical average.
Right.
So I mean, there's a signal in here. I don't know where it's coming from, but it is not a good one. I mean, the reality of all of this is that the people that actually go out and work and pay taxes are the whole reason that, you know, the system functions. If that stops, we've got a big problem.
All right, I have a technical question, and this might even be a stump to Carl question, although it's pretty hard to do that. So I'm assuming, let's say Carl's over 65, I don't want to ask you. You and if you were married or by yourself, you say screw Tennessee, you move to one of the places in Mexico that's got a bazillion American people down there living on their Social Security, or Costa Rica, wherever everybody's going now. You shoot down to Costa Rica and you buy a house down there. You're still getting your Social Security check. I'm assuming somebody's cashing it. That's all they know about, I guess.
Right.
Where are you? Are you still part of the population here? Do they take you off the 100 million people that we don't know what they're doing, or is one or two people come off that number because you're out of the country, or because you're still getting your check, you're still counted here? Where do those people count it?
You know, I don't know. That's a very good question.
I don't know
how that works out. I would suspect,
Maddie, make a note.
The answer is you come out of there.
Did we lose him?
No. Take a note, because I stumped the Carl.
I thought we lost him. He's never been stumped.
No, yeah, he's never been stumped.
Yeah, that's not, you know what, I've never looked into that. I'd have to look into the data that the BLS collects and try to figure that out. I don't think that's actually addressed in any of their documents.
Because, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, what you're talking about. It's not a million people in 6 months, but, I mean, it's been a little bit of a drain. I don't know, did all those people take all their bank accounts and go there and put them in the Cayman? I mean, I have no idea how that works.
If you actually expat yourself now, since since Congress changed the laws, there's an exit tax. There's all kinds of things that you have to do in order to avoid being counted as still American and paying American taxes.
Well, if you're getting your Social Security, I don't think you're expatting, are you?
I don't think you can. Yeah, I think if you expat yourself, then my guess is you wouldn't get your Social Security check.
Well, we had a client, our biggest client at the time. Matter of fact, by far our biggest client. A dude from Phoenix, actually he's from Chandler. One of the most interesting people. Someday when we have a beer crowd, I'll tell you about this guy. Actually, one of the most interesting creatures I've ever come across. He was like the second biggest developer in that whole area, next to what was the guy's name? Keating. And he was like number two, but he was, you know, reasonably below Keating because he didn't have the Phoenician or something. But he had 57 different developments going at once, different corporations in the same area. That's pretty good,
and, right?
But he expatted himself. He didn't like Clinton. The guy's a prisoner of war, a navigator on a B-24, and he shot down. He's a prisoner of war, incredible, you know, patriot kind of guy. He didn't like Clinton, so he leaves. I'm like, actually, what he was, he had a reason for it, Carl. I'll tell this real quick, but he was very concerned about the estate tax back when it was a lot bigger. Not so much that he had, you know, who knows what the guy was worth? You know, $40 million, $50 million, which in 1990 was a lot of money. Let's say he was worth that. He wasn't worried about paying, you know, 20% and having to write a check, but he was concerned about these idiots from the government. And I'll use this term specifically this time. He said the stories that he heard from people that died, and people would come in and assess your stuff. When you see an estate auction, I mean, you probably know this. What they sell something for? If you're in this estate tax bubble, they don't care what you sell it for. And he and his wife had befriended this Indian artist when he was real young, and they gave him money to eat and gave him jobs and stuff. Well, the guy ends up being quite the artist, and they have probably 30 pieces of this guy's paintings and sculptures in their place, because they were essentially buying them from the guy when nobody else would buy them. You know, they're buying them for $100, that kind of thing.
Right.
So what he was worried about is some basically bleep hole coming in and saying, well, that's worth $200,000, that's worth $300,000, because now the guy's got a name for himself. By the way, your art collection is worth, you know, $80 million. We want, you know, $20 million check.
Right.
But if you take that to auction and you get 10, they still want their 20. I got a story for even you haven't heard, Carl. I mean, I don't know where I remember this stuff. Some guy had a There's a very famous taxidermist, guy who stuffs animals. I mean, I don't know why people do that, but they do. And he was, you know, seriously famous. So somebody had a bald eagle stuffed by this guy, which is a few years ago, was now on the endangered species list. Right? So the guy's got it. I don't know where the hell he got it. I don't think he knew where he got it. The IRS comes in and says, because that's in this taxidermist, the thing's worth like $800,000. By the way, you owe us like $200,000. You know, or something. I'm making up the number, but it was pretty high.
Right.
Well, guess what? Because it was on the endangered species list, you can't even sell the stuffed eagle.
Right. You can't sell it. Right.
So they just wanted the check from the guy. The guy goes, how could it be worth $800,000 if I can't sell it? IRS, they were adamant. I think he might went some, I don't know where the hell he went in court. He finally got some kind of a judgment on the thing, but some cooler heads prevailed. But they actually said, oh no, that's worth like $1 million. Well, God, I can't sell it. Well, I know, but it's still worth $1 million. We want a check. I mean, this guy was, well, he was terrified of this. So he said, it's not happening. So he ends up getting his, citizenship in the Isle of Man, but he had no intention of living in the Isle of Man. So he gets a residency thing in Bermuda, which you actually can't become a Bermuda citizen. You just get a residency there.
Right.
And I think he told me his next door neighbor was, who's the guy with the big ears that ran for president? What the hell was his name?
Perot?
Yeah, Perot and his sons were like straddling his house. They had already had their escape clause. And so he had to go to a driver's license when you've been driving for your whole life. Is a minimum one full day process to drive in Bermuda, and what's the place, 50 miles long maybe? 40? And so he ended up moving everything there. And you could come back in the U.S. for, what is it, it's like 100 and some days a year you can come back. Then he could go to an island up in Canada, so he could go there for a few months, and he could, you know, go to Italy for 3 months if he wanted, but Bermuda became his home base. But he, in his passport said Isle of Man, and he took off. But I think back then, this was 1992. I mean, I think it was probably, there was no escape tax or anything like that. But he said the procedure was, you did your tax return, you didn't cheat on it, you walked into the embassy or whoever the hell you're, the state office in Phoenix, here's my tax return, here's my check, I'm out of here, here's my passport.
Yeah, have a nice day.
Right. Yeah, have a nice day. And, I think it's more difficult now, isn't it? Like you were saying.
It is, and I had an uncle who had dual British and American citizenship, and he lived in Bermuda for a good part of his life, and was able to work there because he had citizenship, so he could actually work in Bermuda as opposed to just, you know, reside there. And that was when the U.S. was playing fast and loose with the idea of, well, can you actually have dual citizenship, and, you know, maybe you can't, so he had to be really careful what passport he used where when he traveled, because he was always at risk of having something really horrid happen. Now they've fixed that problem, but they've added new ones in that America is one of the few countries that taxes your income no matter where you earn it if you're an American. But there are exemptions of relatively moderate amounts. And the rules are pretty complicated. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm pretty comfortable doing my own taxes. I don't think I would be if I was trying to navigate that.
Oh no, there's only a few guys that do. But you know, some people ruined it for all of us, Carl. I mean, the people who said,
there were a lot of people that were just cheating like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we do Stocks and Jacks here, obviously, and we have a few people listening from Australia. Maddie gets stuff, but by and large, they're here. Now, but if we all of a sudden got very, you know, we could figure out some way of putting the Stocks and Jacks trademark in Bermuda or Bahamas and paying ourselves for our own trademark, that kind of crap. You know what? Those people ruined it for everybody, Carl. And they really did, I think.
Oh yeah, and you know what? But you have so much of that goes on within the, you know, within the corporate American world. And you know, the games, what is it, Double Dutch Irish or something like that?
Oh, is it Double Dutch?
They've all got these names.
Double Dutch Sandwich.
Yeah, I'm like, seriously? You know?
Yeah. Well, hey, real quick, because we only got 2 minutes. The market has not moved really at all. Are these numbers tradable? Are they pretty much what we should be expecting here? And it's not a surprise either way. It looks to me like it's not tradable.
Yeah, I don't think it is. But like I said, there's this undercurrent in there that I think we need to watch it and see if this continues over the next couple of months, someone's eventually going to pick up on the fact that that non-institutional population number is collapsing, and that is not likely to go over well when that gets figured out.
Two really quick questions. Why, with every other asset in the price of the world going up, don't answer this, I'll give you the other question, are gold and silver, who's leaning on those? The other is, I'm thinking with the inflation rates that I'm seeing, we're pushing a minus 9 interest rate right now, real rate. And when are people going to figure out that the $1 million they have in the bank at the end of the year is only going to be worth $90,000? And when are they going to be pissed off about it? Some Republican, I forget his name, I just saw it fly across the tape, the representative sent something either verbally or whatever to Powell saying, taper right now, my people are getting gagged by this inflation. When is this going to end? When is gold going to go up, and when are these interest rates people are just going to revolt on?
Well, I don't know that gold's going to go up, because I think that the people's view that it's still a monetary base is probably false, and I don't think that's ever going to change. But I'll tell you what, the squeeze that's going to come on them, especially on the middle class and lower income people, from these inflationary moves is the kind of thing that can generate serious civil and political trouble.
I think we're pretty close.
Yeah, I do too, and I think by the end of the year, McConnell made some statements the other day that basically he's not going along with this BS, and if the Democrats want to do it, they're going to have to do it on their own. Well, I don't have a lot of respect for that man, but he's not an idiot politician.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. And my guess is that Biden and his crew realize that you could easily have a 2/3 Republican House and Senate in the midterms. And so they're trying to ram through what they can because they know what's coming.
I would agree with that. But the idea that everybody's doing such a horrible job that we change every 2 or 4 years, that's not good either. Carl, thank you very much, buddy. I'm not saying this means that we should elect these guys again. I'm just saying if people are that dissatisfied where we have to change every 2 or 4 years, that's not healthy. SP Futures up a quarter. NASDAQ Futures down 59. Be back on Monday. Stocks and Jocks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.